This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A quick end to talks with one of America's biggest trading partners. Here's ABC's Maggie Rooley.
President Trump has abruptly ended trade negotiations with Canada. He says he's angry over a TV ad airing in Canada that used the voice of Ronald Reagan to criticize tariffs. Trump accuses Canada of trying to interfere with the Supreme Court, which is considering whether his tariffs are legal.
24 days after the government has been shut down, this is the first Friday where hundreds of thousands of federal workers will not receive their full paychecks. Based on satellite images, it does appear the entire White House East Wing has been demolished so President Trump can proceed with this $300 million ballroom. The plan to send federal troops to San Francisco has been put on hold for now. The city's mayor says he talked to the president about it and decided. Decision was made to hold off, at least for now. On Thursday, Border Patrol agents used flashbangs to disperse dozens of protesters in San Francisco. This is ABC News.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's a new comedy biopic that should interest many Wisconsinites. A Chris Farley story has been sold as a pitch to New Line Cinema, who will also distribute the film. Farley will be played by Paul Walter Hauser, who was most recently seen in The Naked Gun and The Fantastic Four First Steps before that. He can be seen this weekend in Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. And now he will play the iconic Farley. Hauser is also at the point where he can have some influence with the director, the extremely busy and in-demand Josh Gad. Variety is reporting that Hauser is lobbying for Sam Rockwell to play the part of Saturday Night Live executive producer and creator Lorne Michaels. While appearing at the premiere of Deliver Me From Nowhere, Hauser pleaded directly to Rockwell to take the role, saying, "Sam, please, be in my Chris Farley movie. You love being around me when I do my Farley impression anyway, so I'll do Matt Foley all day to make you laugh. It'll be fun." Rockwell and Hauser appeared together in Clint Eastwood's Richard Jewell in 2019. Sounds like a fun flick. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. It's the Bucks and the Raptors in Toronto, but guard Kevin Porter is not on this road trip. On MRI confirmed he suffered a sprained ankle in the Bucks season opener Wednesday night. College football, the Badgers head to Eugene, Oregon to play the Ducks tomorrow night. Wisconsin hoping to snap a 5-game losing streak. NFL, the Packers holding practice before flying to Pittsburgh for Sunday night football against the Steelers. Baseball, game one of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on how their season ended in L.A. last week.
From my world, I felt like we did not put our best foot forward in that series. And I think it would have made some difference. But the Dodgers were on it. And you know when a team is on it. And we, the balls we did hit hard, for instance, got caught. You know, our ball in play, I think, was 130, something record low.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Happy Halloween from the Rational Revolution. We have a ghost hunter. Todd Michaels joins us to celebrate Halloween.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low to mid 50s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop down into the upper 30s with a sprinkle or two possible. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with new candidate for the Wisconsin governorship, Missy Hughes, former head of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and former executive with Organic Farms. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, we made it. It's a Friday, a frosty Friday at that. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report here at the studios in Madison. I noticed that we got below 32 degrees for an extended period of time overnight. I think that's a freeze. I'm noticing a lot of frost on windshields, rooftops this morning. What's happening in your backyard? Talk text line is open to you, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Or you can communicate directly with us through our brand new Midwest Farm Report app, available on both Android and Apple. Just go to your favorite Play Store and look for Midwest Farm Report. Hit that send button with a video, pictures, or your voice. We'd love to communicate with you. We'll be communicating with Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. The good news is it does look like our temperatures during the day are going to be improving starting today. Sunshine on the way today, high around 52 degrees with calm winds. More frost overnight than Saturday, partly sunny skies, 53. Sunday, partly sunny, 59. Monday, sunshine and 57 degrees. We'll have the weather picture painted for us when Stu Muck joins us. Also on the way this morning, data centers coming to Wisconsin. And one big question communities have to face, those data centers require a lot of water. What is Wisconsin's water situation today? You know, did we experience a drought in some areas? What are the aquifer tables looking like? Kylie Allen's got that investigative report. Winter means we've got to turn up the heat. Wisconsin farmers haven't needed a lot of propane to dry their crop this year. How are heating supplies looking? Ben Jarbo's got that update for us. And just around the corner, Stephanie Hoff introducing us to the finalist for the Leopold Conservation Award. We've introduced you to all four when she gets done visiting with the Bretzett family in Jefferson County. That's next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone, kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt.
Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre.
All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
When it comes to conservation, the Bratset Family Farm doesn't just talk the talk, they graze. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison and in Jefferson County. Mother-daughter duo Winona Bratset and Kirsten Jurczak have been rotationally grazing beef cattle since 2005. The entire family is involved, and they've transitioned the farm into a thriving ecosystem of healthy soil, clean water, and biodiversity. Their efforts to integrate cropland into perennial vegetation have also made the land more productive. These are among the reasons they're one of the four finalists for the 2025 Wisconsin Leopold Conservation Award. This honor celebrates those who go above and beyond to care for the land, water, and wildlife. Kirsten Jurczak joins us to share how their conservation journey took root.
So our family farm is located in Jefferson County. We're located in the rolling Drumlin Hills of Jefferson County, and our farm was started in 1968. My parents purchased about 175 acres in 1968. During the late 70s, my grandmother purchased some land surrounding our farm. And then during the late 90s, my brother and I purchased another 40 acres to add to the farm. So we have a total of about 300 acres. Farmers never really, you know, want to own the whole neighborhood, just what's adjacent to their land, right? So, yeah, we have about a 300-acre farm that got started in the late 60s. So it's very much a family farm, but my mother, Winona Bratset, and I are the farm managers, major farm laborers. We do the day-to-day, 7 days a week work here on the farm. And then my brother helps on Saturdays. He's our maintenance guy, does repairs to our fences, our buildings, our equipment. So he does play a large role in our farm as well. And then when it's time to work livestock or where we need all hands on deck, then my adult children, my husband also come home and help.
So tell me, what are you raising then on the farm?
Over the years, we've tried a myriad of different livestock, so all pastured livestock. But so right now we have a grass-fed, grass-finished beef herd that we direct market to consumers, our beef. So we have cow-calf and then finishers, all that are 100% grass-fed and grass-finished.
Why were you intentional about the rotational grazing?
When I returned to the farm in the early 2000s, myself and my family came back to the farm to help mom after my dad had passed. And our equipment was old. My mother's very mechanically inclined, very patient person, can fix anything. I'm not as mechanically inclined. I'm not good at maintenance and equipment. I was not good at row cropping and cultivating corn. I was very bad at that. I didn't want to drive tractor with a kid on each leg. It just wasn't a safe way to farm. And so we had a beef herd and we learned more about rotational grazing. And it just made a lot of sense to build fences, put in water lines, and rotationally graze the cattle so that they harvested their own feed and deposited their own waste versus planting crops, hauling feed to livestock, and then hauling their manure back out on the field. So it just made sense to us and it's worked really well for us.
Was it a difficult decision to go from having that traditional cropland to the perennial vegetation?
Not at all. No, it was just relieving. Every year we added more, that we had less land to work. We were able to get rid of more of our farm equipment every year that we didn't need. We were able to downsize farm equipment and insurance costs, which was super helpful financially. And would never look back and do anything different. It's been a great way to farm.
So you talk about the improvements to the bottom line, Kirsten, but there's also, you've seen improvements in soil health, water quality, biodiversity. Can you tell me what you've seen on the biology side of the equation?
Sure. That's been really exciting. So we've always soil sampled because we have a nutrient management plan. And so over the years, actually, somebody else pointed out to me while they were looking at our nutrient management plan, wow, your organic matter in this field has gone from 3.5% to 9.5% over like 12 years, which was really, truly amazing to me that we could change the dial that quickly and that much through rotational grazing and through different management styles. So we've seen the organic matter in our soils increase across the farm. So that's been amazing. We've seen the grassland birds return to our landscape, which has been truly amazing. Not just a few of them, a lot of them. So that's been really fun to see. And just the butterflies, the monarchs this year, and the pollinators that are abundant on our farm is just really exciting to see.
Well, and speaking of the birds, can you tell me about your partnership with the National Audubon Society?
Yeah, so National Audubon Society has a project in Wisconsin. They've been more active in Wisconsin, I think, in the last 3 years. And so for the last 2 years, they've been really active with our producer-led watershed group, the Rock River Regenerative Grazers, and some farms in Waukesha County, and across the state, actually, in doing bird monitoring surveys on our farms. So every June, we have a bird monitor that comes out and actually spends the morning on our farms listening and recording the species that they are identifying. And that's been really rewarding to see the vast amount of grassland birds we have. I'm just learning the different calls and sounds and how to identify them, but to have an expert come out and really validate what we're seeing has been really exciting. And it's been really fun to look at the Audubon bird surveys on different farms and really realize that our hard work in our rotational grazing is really making the impact that we had hoped it was making. It's really validating.
Conservation work has become part of the day-to-day operation on the farm, but it's also work that's being recognized by the industry. You are a Wisconsin Leopold Conservation Award finalist. Can you tell me how you got the news that you were in the running?
I guess we had to sign off on the application, so we knew we were submitted. And then, yes, we got an email that we got the news and a phone call, and we were just really honored and humbled and a little bit surprised. And yeah, we're just really honored to be finalists. We're very thankful, and we're thankful to our community that that everybody recognizes the hard work and the environmental conservation and also just civic work that we do that makes other people's lives better. So
moving forward, how does this recognition as a finalist, you know, regardless of who gets the big award at the end, are you going to change anything moving forward? Continue doing what you're doing, expand? What are you thinking?
Yeah, our goal is to always have our farm be a conservation farm. And we do have a conservation easement on it, so we know it'll never be developed. But we're hopeful that when it comes time for the next generation or a new farmer to take over our farm, that they'll respect the land in the same way we always have, and that they'll just keep bettering it.
Well, congratulations again to Kirsten Jurasek. Bratset Family Farm of Jefferson County is one of four finalists for the Wisconsin Leopold Conservation Award, and rightly so. As we heard, Kirsten's family has been working to rotationally graze beef cattle. They've been integrating cropland into perennial vegetation, which has produced quality forage while also improving the environment. And Bratset Family Farm is committed to improving grazing practices while enhancing grassland bird habitat. They mentor other grazers and partner with the National Audubon Society. This year's recipient of the Wisconsin Leopold Conservation Award will be revealed at the Wisconsin Board of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection meeting on November 13th. The other three finalists are Andy Bensent of Barron County, Michael Berg of Lafayette County, and Pat and Michelle Saha of Marathon County. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted.
A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will do some recombobulating with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, to kick around all the Wisconsin news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
It's chilly out there this morning. I like what I see coming this weekend, and it is, after all, the 24th of October. We should not be surprised that we finally have a freeze, right, Stu?
No, absolutely not. I pulled out my first fall freeze map this morning, you know, and that southeastern part of Wisconsin, Green Bay, Fond du Lac, Beaver Dam, down to Madison, and even southwestern Wisconsin, Prairie du Chien and Platteville, don't normally see that frost between the 4th and 10th of October.
Right.
Here's
right.
The 24th. We're 2 weeks behind.
Yep. That's, and you know, the best part about it is we're going to get a bit of a respite this weekend, right?
Right. Yeah. The temperatures warm back up. That kind of plays together. I mean, skies clear out. That gives us the daytime sun and warms us up. But as those skies stay clear in the night, that cold air can really settle in. And that's where that frostiness comes from. The freeze warning in effect around a good part of southern, southeastern and western Wisconsin until 9 a.m. this morning. And I do expect a pretty nice day to be in store. Sunshine turning out again. Nicer temperatures. You know, we start pushing up a little bit further. And in the southern parts of the state, in the low 50s, upper 40s in the north, that all sounds well and good. There is going to be a weak warm front trying to push in. May account for a few more clouds, even a sprinkle in parts of central and northern Wisconsin Saturday. I don't expect that to be a real big threat anywhere, but the temperatures stay mild. In fact, warming up with more sunshine for Sunday, staying mild into Monday, a little rain chance starts us into next week. Then after we get things started into Monday, I'd say toward Monday night or Tuesday, we may have some rain to start talking about. And even that, I don't expect to be that heavy. Light rains like we've seen most of this week, you know, a tenth of an inch or two here and there. That's just how it's been working out as we've gotten this fall season underway, and it hasn't been the worst for field work or even getting things enjoyed out there as well. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand Power Core and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, Power Core and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast and paint me through to Monday, would you?
All right, we'll do that. The freeze warning this morning until 9 a.m. and our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update calls for frost in many locations, and it will begin to burn off a little later. Sunshine ought to return. Upper 40s in northern Wisconsin. Lower 50s, could be around 54 or so at Madison, with winds becoming northwest about 5. Some frost around overnight, even some increasing cloudiness in the west and north. I'd say temps dropping into the low 30s and upper 20s again with a southeast breeze. A little frost. Frost, some clouds, a slight rain chance Saturday. Don't think of it too much for rain. Very upper 40s and low 50s. And by Sunday, more sunshine. That's where Madison could be near 60. A little cooler elsewhere. Still very fine for late October. And those temps stay in the upper 50s for Monday, Pam. It looks like the wrap-up of the weekend is going to be beautiful.
Connie from Velder said that it's 30 degrees, but she said her summer flowers still look like they're hanging in there. Ben Jarbo is going up to Eagle River this weekend. All I told him was make sure he's got enough clothes.
Take his long johns. He's from down south. He's going to need them.
That's right. He is. You're correct. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. We'll talk on Monday.
All right. See ya.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural life. Want to find out more? Pop on over to compeer.com. Ben Jarbo is, in fact, on the horizon. He's going to give us an update on how winter propane supplies are looking. Stick around for that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hevesh-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state, and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
Indefinitely.
And that oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles-Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A quick end to talks with one of America's biggest trading partners. Here's ABC's Maggie Rooley.
President Trump has abruptly ended trade negotiations with Canada. He says he's angry over a TV ad airing in Canada that used the voice of Ronald Reagan to criticize tariffs. Trump accuses Canada of trying to interfere with the Supreme Court, which is considering whether his tariffs are legal.
24 days after the government has been shut down, this is the first Friday where hundreds of thousands of federal workers will not receive their full paychecks. Based on satellite images, it does appear the entire White House East Wing has been demolished so President Trump can proceed with this $300 million ballroom. The plan to send federal troops to San Francisco has been put on hold for now. The city's mayor says he talked to the president about it. Decision was made to hold off, at least for now. On Thursday, Border Patrol agents used flashbangs to disperse dozens of protesters in San Francisco. This is ABC News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Raptors in Toronto, but guard Kevin Porter is not on this road trip. On MRI confirmed he suffered a sprained ankle in the Bucks season opener Wednesday night. College football, the Badgers head to Eugene, Oregon to play the Ducks tomorrow night. Wisconsin hoping to snap a five-game losing streak. NFL, the Packers holding practice before flying to Pittsburgh for Sunday night football against the Steelers. Baseball, game one of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on how their season ended in L.A. last week.
From my world, I felt like we did not put our best foot forward in that series, and I think it would have made some difference, but the Dodgers were on it, and you know when a team is on it. And we, the balls we did hit hard, for instance, got caught. You know, our ball in play, I think, was 130, something record low.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chris Mays of Clearly Confused Entertainment, and it's a Bar Band Friday night featuring Terry Barr's Max Inc. radio co-host, Rocker. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low to mid-50s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop down into the upper 30s with a sprinkle or two possible. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Mornings with Pat Krailo interview with Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Executive Director Sheila Everhart.
You attached as well a proclamation from the governor's office proclaiming that this is going to be Wisconsin agricultural tourism fall season. And essentially, Sheila, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically saying, look, there's all the usual places you could go on a weekend road trip around Wisconsin, but consider expanding your horizons and looking for opportunities to engage in agricultural tourism, right?
Yes, we're so proud. September 11th through November 2nd is Wisconsin's agricultural tourism fall season. Agricultural tourism is one of the fastest growing segments in both agriculture and tourism. It's revitalizing our rural economies, preserving farmland, allowing families to keep their farm operational for generations. But besides that, it plays a vital role in reconnecting people with agriculture. Guests want to learn where their food comes from and why stewardship of the land matters and how our farmers are essential for everyday life. So it's going to the apple orchard and getting fresh apple cider. It's going to the pumpkin patches and picking your pumpkins. It's attending a class on a farm, maybe learn to have some heritage cooking classes and maybe making some sourdough bread. It's tasting farm fresh ice cream made on a farm like Sassy Cow Creamery. It's tasting fresh cheese curds at the Phelps Dairy Farm. It's going out and experiencing life on a farm and being disconnected from your tablet. But we also have, Pat, what is really cool is the Wisconsin Maize Challenge. the Wisconsin Agricultural Maize Challenge, because we want you to get out in a cornfield and we want you to get lost, but then find your way out of that cornfield. So we're having a contest. We invite you to visit a family farm, experience a corn maze, use your navigational skills, take a picture of your visit, post it to Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag WATA Maze, W-A-T-A Maze, and then we will have weekly winners of that WATA Maze Challenge.
It comes down to that diversification where not every farmer is going to be doing, you know, any one of these things, but the ones who want to, the opportunities are there.
To subscribe and find all of Civica Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
News from the center, WRCE.
Earhart, the female aviator, spoke to the Janesville Women's History Club. It was part of the group's 57th anniversary celebration. Of course, by that time, many people knew Amelia Earhart. And just 4 years later, she disappeared while she attempted to fly across the Pacific Ocean. Some happy birthdays for you today. Happy birthday to actor Kevin Klein, turned 78 today. And musician Drake turns 39. And now you know. We all know that very soon you're going to be gravitating towards that thermostat, turning it up just a little bit to start warming up against Wisconsin's chilling winter effect. How are heating fuel supplies looking going into the winter? One thing we know, Wisconsin farmers didn't need a lot of propane to dry down this year's crop. Ben Jarbo gets us up to speed on Wisconsin propane supplies.
There's a chill in the air, which means it is time to start running furnaces across the state. One great way to do this is with propane. I'm Ben Jarbo at the Midwest Farm Report, and here to give some details on what is being seen within the propane industry is Cheryl Lytle. She is the executive director of the Wisconsin Propane Gas Association and says that this year may require a bit more heat in our homes compared to recent times.
Propane is not just for your grill. It is actually vital for home heat, grain drying, warming livestock, and running forklifts and more. In 2021, propane industry provided over a $1 billion economic impact in Wisconsin.
And if we look at something that a lot of people are probably wondering about, because we're always wondering, it's the pricing. How much should people be looking to possibly spend this winter?
Pricing has been relatively stable so far this season, but things can change quickly. Weather conditions, demand spikes can really make a difference throughout the season. It's best to work with your propane provider to mitigate your price risk that best fits your situation, which means we got budget programs.
And if we take a look at the supply of propane here within the state of Wisconsin, how is that looking? Do we have enough for everyone here?
Absolutely. Supply overall in the United States, we're in good shape. But with each year, regional cold spells and winter storms can create a little logistical bottleneck for us at times. So again, I'd like to recommend working with your propane provider as the season progresses.
And if we look into the season a bit more from your perspective, what's expected need here in Wisconsin for? Because, I mean, we are on the northern end of the U.S. here, so I assume it has to be pretty high. What are you seeing?
Well, typical weather forecasts are 11 to 18 day models. And in the propane industry, we're dialed into the 30, 60, 90 day models. And our forecasts are suggesting a moderate chance of La Nina. And what that means for the Midwest is that we're predicting a cooler and slightly wetter winter this year.
And propane is actually a big part of agriculture as well. How much is being used within the agriculture industry here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. It's harvest season, and crop dryer demands for Wisconsin is typically seen in the back half of October through about mid-November. Overall, the demand for Wisconsin looks about the same as last year, and there are some pockets in some regions that are seeing a little bit lighter needs. Demand for dryer gallons overall has been lighter in Illinois and Iowa and southern part of Wisconsin, but we're seeing higher demands in North and South Dakota and northern and western Minnesota.
Now, if we do look at trends just within the propane industry as a whole, what are some of those recent trends that you're seeing as an association?
Propane is energy for everyone, and it can do a lot for any of you. Propane is the energy for anyone, and it can do a lot. Right now in agriculture, I feel like flaming equipment is very popular. It actually, the piece hovers over the ground and burns the field, and it can remove pests and spores in an organic way and leave a little more carbon in your field. Another trend is whole home energy. And what that means is propane can, yes, keep you warm and run some of your appliances, but this is whole home. It would be running your electrical panel off of propane too.
Cheryl wants it reiterated one last big safety tip, which is do not smoke around your propane tanks. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
We know Wisconsin cheese is the best, and the United States knows that Wisconsin is America's dairyland. But what about beyond our borders? On this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff, Waterloo dairy farmer Mark Crave says Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has expanded dairy's reach to 50 countries. Those are vital markets for Wisconsin dairy farmers.
Only 4% of the world's population lives in the United States. And so what that leaves is basically the rest of the world who are potential customers, who have food needs, they have needs for the nutrition of our dairy products. And obviously what we do here is we can produce a lot of milk and a lot of cheese and a lot of other dairy products. We can't consume all those. 90% of our milk in Wisconsin is converted into cheese, and 90% of that cheese leaves the state.
Wisconsin's dairy pride doesn't stop at our state line. It's recognized around the world thanks to the work of farmers like Mark Crave and Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Learn more about that global reach at wisconsindairy.org.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you?
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
We told you yesterday here on the Midwest Farm Report that the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency offices were reopening, but with very limited staff and very limited duties. This morning, we're hearing from Brian Glenn, Director of Government Affairs at the American Farm Bureau Federation, that Farm Service Agency offices are only going to be able to carry out some very specific programs for now.
The county Farm Service Agency offices will carry out programs such as disaster aid, marketing assistance loans, indemnity programs, dairy margin coverage, and more farm safety net programs like ARC and PLC payments to ensure farmers and ranchers receive the payments and commitments so they can continue to plan for their next season.
Yeah, some critical tools that a lot of farmers, not just in Wisconsin, but nationwide, have been waiting on through the Farm Service Agency office. Now, I'm being told by FSA officials all across Wisconsin to please encourage you to make an appointment before you show up at your county FSA office, just because they don't have the staff to deal with large volumes. And please make sure you're prepared when you do arrive. They're doing their best with the limited staff that's been able to return to our county Farm Service Agency offices. We'll keep you posted on any changes or elevation in the number of staff available. Markets not elevated this morning. Currently in Chicago, I'm looking at the December corn, currently trading down a penny, make that 2 cents now at 426. March corn's down two at 439. Soybeans for November down almost 2 cents at 1043. January soybeans are down a penny at 1061. Wheat for July down a penny right now at 549. Barrel cheese yesterday was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese, that dropped a penny and a half to 172 and a half. The AA butter, though, was up a penny and three quarters to 156 and a quarter per pound. November class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 4 this morning at 1747. December class 3 milk's up 9, 1694 a hundredweight. How did Wisconsin do as far as water levels this year? Wasn't really a droughty year, but I'm sure levels changed. We'll find out how next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is news from the Setter, WRCE.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Across the state of Wisconsin, people have concerns, to say the least, about Badger football. Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion and NFL vet, will be here to discuss it at our favorite fall event. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
So obviously about your community, and with more data centers coming into Wisconsin, that could be a part of the conversation in the future. Kylie Allen has done a little research to find out how 2025 stands with Wisconsin water resources.
Water is the number one nutrient needed for animals and crucial for crop growth. Adam Freihofer is the Water Use Section Manager for the Department of Natural Resources. He tells us about the state of Wisconsin's water supply.
So the water in the state is not a straightforward thing that you could say everything is equal in every spot. Water is not equally available across the state in all shapes and forms. There's areas of our state like North Central Wisconsin where we have a large dairy and cheesemaking presence where water is harder to come by just because of the geology, because of the layers of the cake, if you will. They don't generate as much water. And other places like the sand plains in the central Wisconsin, which are big for potato and vegetable growing, those aquifers are healthier, if you will, with respect to groundwater availability, but they also offer their own challenges, which I can get into. I will say for the state of groundwater itself across Wisconsin, we just came off of one of the highest levels of groundwater we've had since we started recording 1920s, 1930s, since the Dust Bowl. So water levels in 2018, 2019, 2020 were exceedingly high. We couldn't get rid of the groundwater fast enough. In fact, it was starting to daylight. The groundwater was getting so high, it was starting to reach the surface and flood out people's basements. Lakes were groundwater dependent, were flooding out. So we didn't know what to do with the water at that point. Since that time period, water levels, the groundwater table, the top of the groundwater has come down, has receded. We certainly saw that with the 2023 drought. And so during 2023, we had not really hot temperatures, but very dry conditions for a long period of time. And that sent groundwater levels kind of back down to normal. And that's pretty much where they've remained since. We've had precipitation on and off since that period, but things haven't gone too much up or too much down with respect to the water level. So we're kind of hovering, I would say, somewhere around average right now as of today. But again, it's really dependent on where you are in the state. If you ask that question, what's the state of groundwater? The state of groundwater in northern Wisconsin may be different than southern Wisconsin, may be different along the Great Lakes and so on. So it's a reason why the department, along with our partners at the USGS and the State Geologic Survey, we monitor groundwater levels throughout the state. So anyone can go look at those levels. We have them on a map viewer. And again, some of those water levels date back to the 1920s. So we have an amazing record that gives us context for how high or how low are these levels.
What are a few of those key points that you encourage folks in ag on how to be good stewards?
You know, one of the things that has come up, particularly in the dairy industry, and particularly I've seen it mostly in north central Wisconsin regionally, just because of the geology being a little, there being more constraints on the geology. Mother Nature's not willing to give up as much water in that spot because of the geology. What I'm really telling a lot of people is treat your water like you would any other commodity that you're using on your property, electricity or anything else. So oftentimes when people come in for water, a request for water with a high cap well or whatnot, we'll say, how much are you using now? What are your needs? How much are you applying to your land? So knowing what you're using, metering it, putting a meter on your well and knowing, like, sometimes there's concern like, well, I don't want to know this stuff because I don't want the department to know. Well, even if you don't have to share with the department, knowing what you're using is really helpful for yourself. It gives you an understanding of your water budget, which is essentially your checkbook. What are you pumping out? What are you applying? When are you applying it? Knowing those things, tracking those things can be really helpful for you. And then you can say, well, what happens if next year is really dry? Would I need more water? How much more? Do I have what I need? It's helping you plan for the future. So being a good steward starts with being prepared and knowing what your use is. And then the second part of the stewardship is having a good idea of being efficient with your irrigation. And I think a lot of farmers are. Obviously, there's the water and electrical side. They don't want to be using more water than they have to because they have to pay for the electrical piece of that too. But timing that out, you know, irrigating not at the hottest part of the day. Majority of the farmers know this. They're smarter than I am. They understand when to apply the water. It's just trying to time it out, put just enough in, and sometimes like soil moisture probes help with that. Like, okay, you're good here. You need to you don't need to apply any more water. Your soil is as good as it's going to get for now. So there is technologies out there to become better stewards. We saw the potato and vegetable growers set up an evaporation tower. It's called an eddy covariance tower. This allowed them to see when the plant basically stopped operating. So they're like, oh, we don't need to apply any more water. The plant's not even living anymore. It's shut off. The potato plant is done. Even though it looks like it's alive and we should keep watering it, it's not. There's constant evolution on our understanding of water use in the state. Even though we're a water-rich state, we do have to be pretty protective of our resource so that we can keep the industry going and we can keep being that leader in ag. And so I keep seeing these innovations, like what I saw with the potato and vegetable growers and the evapotranspiration towers and irrigation scheduling and things like that. So those are the things I'd say, but it really starts with just knowing what you're using. That's my first, it's the easiest thing. And it's probably the best thing that the ag community can do is just having a good understanding of how much they're using month to month, year to year.
Adam Freihofer, the Water Use Section Manager for the Department of Natural Resources. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety will live on. That's next on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthshoreProductions.com. Farmers know that livestock can be temperamental at times. Even animals that have never been a problem before can act up. And in a head-to-head, the 600-pound steer or mama sow will hold the advantage. Be watchful and know how to reach a safe spot fast if you have to. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthshoreProductions.com. Multiple centers for ag health and safety spent several months uncertain if they would be funded for the coming year. But late this summer, they did get funding awarded. One of those is the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety in Marshfield, Wisconsin. It's headed by Andrea Swenson.
We'll be able to continue our different research and collaborative efforts throughout the United States. We have a really versatile outreach team that engages with several organizations who will be able to continue their work and focus on sharing the different resources and products and message of youth agricultural health and safety to others.
Swenson says funding comes from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health and from the Centers for Disease Control.
We're really excited for this next year, and we have a lot of different objectives that we'll be able to meet. And we do that really through a community effort. And we really appreciate everyone's support throughout this year and the upcoming year, and the support and backing that we received from the agriculture community is really helping us achieve those goals and the ultimate goal that our center has for ensuring the safe participation of youth in agriculture.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Happy Halloween for the Rational Revolution. We have a ghost hunter. Todd Michaels joins us to celebrate Halloween.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant. But environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Overnight, President Trump abruptly announcing he is terminating trade talks with Canada over a television ad that used audio from President Reagan criticizing tariffs. Trump writing on social media that Canada is trying to interfere with a Supreme Court decision on his tariffs. The Reagan Foundation says it's reviewing legal use of the audio. At 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue,
the historic 120-year-old east wing of the White House reduced to rubble. Satellite images show the dramatic transformation from less than 1 month ago to now. Along with the building, at least six trees have been taken down, including two magnolias commemorated to Presidents Warren Harding and Franklin Roosevelt, all to make room for President Trump's 90,000-square-foot ballroom.
ABC's Perry Russom in Washington. The president says after speaking to San Francisco Mayor Daniel Lurie, he's backing off a planned surge of federal agents into the city. There were protests against the agents in San Francisco Thursday. This is ABC News.